Okay, and there we go. Does this start regularly here? I was told to start it right now. Oh, never mind. Okay. That was going to be our first song, so I was going to say something before we sing our first song, which is, you know, I was just thinking on the way here tonight, we just have a really unique opportunity, and we really need to appreciate the fact that, you know, Wednesday night, we go to the little church service. I've been in enough church services to last me a lifetime. I couldn't care less about church services, personally. And one of the crappy things about church services, this thing would go on whether you were here or not. It's like, well, it didn't even matter that I was here. So stop, let's not think of it that way. Let's think of this. You get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet with and to bless the heart of the God that made you, who spoke the world into existence. Not only can you do that individually, but we have this really unique opportunity. We can somehow spiritually connect with this little gang of people around us. And somehow our praise and worship is stronger and blesses him more if we can just kind of link our hearts to the people around us and say, we all want to say this to you, God. This isn't just something I want to say to you. We all want to say this to you because you're so good. I mean, I could pick out any of you and have a 10-minute conversation and just go, who have you seen him? Have you seen him? What was he like? What did he do? And we all have stories. We're all testimonies of God's power and his kindness. We've all seen him, or you wouldn't be here. At the least, you're sniffing him. At least you're thinking, I think he's somewhere nearby. I think it's good. I want him. So we're just going to kind of agree to get our hearts into the room together and say, I want him. He's good. What I've seen of him is good, and I want him. Would you agree with that statement? Okay. Well, I'm not going to have you stand up and do hoo-ha time right now. I just want you to worry about kind of getting your heart into the room and agreeing with these things. I don't even care if you sing. You can sing if you want to. But I just want you to kind of get your heart in this place where you can say, we come into this room together and we worship you. You are the great, unsearchable, invisible, God, only wise. You have no beginning and you have no end. Your mercies are beyond our understanding. You bring a peace that we cannot possibly understand with our minds. You knit us together in our mother's womb, and you're the one that speaks to us about our destiny. I gotta tell you, when I consider who you are, I wanna be in contact with you. I wanna be with you. I wanna know you. And I mean these words that I say to you. Let's sing, "Oh, tell of his might."
Oh, tell of his might. Oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light. Above, thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend.
Let's do that again. Oh, measureless might.
Oh, measureless might, ineffable love, while angels delight to
God, that's our little hello song to you, to say that we have an inkling about who you are. We believe what you say about yourself in your word. And your mercies are unbelievable. Your love is unbelievable. Your power, we don't understand your power at all. So I just want to kind of crowd myself into the room and get up at your feet here and just go, if you would give me one secret about how I can get more of you, I'd be so happy. I just want to know you more. I want to know how to know you. And we want to hear your voice. So I present myself to you willingly, freely, and openly, because I trust you so much, because you're so good. And help everybody in here. I just want to bless all these people, that you'd clear minds of anxieties, fear, and stresses, that you'd put us in a position to receive from you. And so I want to, like, willingly kind of clear my heart of all my complaining and all of my whining that I do. It doesn't help my children to hear my voice when all they do is whine, and it doesn't help me to hear your voice when all I do is whine. So I just want to clear that stuff out. And I just want to be really simple in the way that I approach you. And I know that Greg has your words in his heart and his mouth and in that big book that's on that table. And I want to hear from him and from you. Amen. Okay, thanks, everybody. All right.
Hey, Stephen, I was going to do this.
Hey.
We today, a management team, made a thrive line, and we had a chart when we are close to God and when we are far from God. And the times where we are tracking closer to God, we had to say, who were the influences in our life? And when I first came to Crossroads, I was sort of bent up on religion and thinking I had to perform. And the person's name that I wrote on getting closer and closer to God was yours. So thank you. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Come on.
Thank you, buddy. Bless you.
Yeah. True story. I didn't just make
that
up for you all.
This guy has so much good stuff to give you tonight. It's going to be so good.
So here, let me let you in on a little something. All this next level stuff, remember what it was called last Wednesday? If it was a typical last Wednesday, what we'd do is we'd sort of come in on Wednesday morning, we'd say, oh shoot, we have a last Wednesday night, what should we do? And then we'd figure something out and we'd do it. And then Stephen said, actually, I have a heart for growing people, so Stephen is leading all of this next level creation content stuff. Do you like next level so far? Yes, it's awesome. Me too. And tonight, actually, I'm actually not really teaching. We're gonna do something different tonight. We've had maybe 3 months of sort of content. We had sort of introduction to what we're gonna do next level. We talked about receiving, and then we talked more about receiving, and we said, whoa. We just need to hit the pause button. And so tonight, I'm really just gonna be a facilitator. And we're gonna hit the pause button. And the first thing that I need you to do tonight is buddy up. I need you to buddy up. So if you're not sitting by someone already, I need you to find someone that you can get close to, just like these guys, and buddy up. So Rick Morris, I'm looking at you. You know, go around. If you don't know each other, it's all right. You can quickly introduce yourself to each other. You know, you don't need to worry about if both people are not wearing wedding rings or whatever. This is not speed date. Just find someone to match up with, and you are going to need to be talking to someone tonight. So this will be very good. My boss and my wife aren't listening, so Kathy and Abby, why don't you guys sit next to each other and, okay, as long as you're in your, good. All right, so here we go. So thank you for moving. First thing I want you to do, I just want to break the ice. So I want you to turn to the person that you're sitting by, two questions. I want you to ask them, how long have you been following Jesus? How long would you say you've been a follower of Jesus? And maybe for you the answer is, well, I don't even really know if I'm there yet. And the second thing is why did you come tonight? It's just gonna break the ice. I'll give you 2 minutes and you can start talking right now. Thank you. Very good. The ice has been broken. Okay, I'll give you a one-time trade. If your person was really weird, you can get up and go to... Don't do that. Don't do that. Sit back down. Love it. Love it. Thank you. Bill and Joyce invited me to sit down with them and ask. So the ice has been broken a little bit. So before we go much further, we're going to look at two passages that we looked at last month. So let me just get you up to speed on what we've been talking about at Next Level. Next Level is really our way of saying, man, how do we make sure that not only to continue on the weekend to bring in all of these seekers into an environment where they can hear about Jesus in a language they can understand? How do we do that? But how do we also grow people deeper who are already following Jesus? How do we make people go from just seeking to actually receiving and following Jesus and actually making other disciples? So we said, well, maybe Next Level could be that training ground. And what we really need to settle in on is this idea of before we can follow and do anything for Jesus, we have to first receive. So this is our third month spent on receiving. You start to get the idea, maybe this receiving thing's important. And the very first month, we talked about how there's sort of two ways to enter into the family. Two ways to sort of be born again. And we said the first of which many of us experienced was we were born into this deal where it was mainly works. We call it religion. So, okay, Jesus, I see you've died for me. You've done something really, really good. And now I believe the rest of my life should look like paying off that debt. And so we sort of come to church expecting to work, work, work. And actually that feels a little bit like a hamster wheel. A performance, and we just keep going and going. And we said, well, there's actually a better way that we can go, and it's called grace. And grace is where we just come to Jesus going, hey, I actually don't have anything to offer you. I don't have anything. In fact, I'm pretty broken, but I think that you can take my brokenness and do something with it. And we come to him not really offering anything, but throwing ourselves at him and goes, hey, this is something I can work with. So that's what we sort of talked about week one is, man, do not come in here thinking, okay, God, I've got some pretty good things I can offer you, because he doesn't want it. He really doesn't. He just wants us to come to him and go, hey, in my brokenness, do you think you could do something with me? He goes, yeah, I can. And then last month, we talked about how there are three pictures the Bible gives us to remember this receiving thing's really important. See if you remember them. There were vines, there were sheep, and there were brides. And all of these pictures Jesus talks about over and over to get it through our heads that, hey, you are never, ever, ever, ever done receiving. So we're going to look at a couple of the scripture that come from those. The first of which we're going to talk about from John 10. And this was a sheep scripture. We're going to put up here so you can read along. John 10, Jesus says this, I'm the good shepherd. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and they know me. And I'm willing to die for them. So here's Jesus saying, hey, if you want to receive, you're going to be like a sheep. And every good sheep follows his shepherd. And there's two things that we'll call out. The first of which is Jesus actually knows you. If you've received him, he knows you. Now this for some of us is a little bit like, really? Really? Because Jesus feels pretty far off, pretty distant. But I'm telling you, he knows that you had a bad day today. He knows your hangups. He knows the addiction you've never confessed to anyone. He knows the things that you were made fun of in third grade that you've carried with you every day. He knows your favorite ice cream flavor. He knows everything about you, everything, because you're one of his sheep. And he said, yeah, a good shepherd knows his sheep. But this verse doesn't stop there. It also says that they know me. They know me. So, okay, does it mean that to be a sheep, I have to know my shepherd? Well, maybe, but I'll just also admit and say, I probably believe that Jesus knows me more than I know him. And I would say that there are times where I really, really know him because I'm spending time with him, or maybe some big thing happens in my life and I go, oh man, I'm gonna get really, really close to my shepherd because I am in need of him right now. And then there are other times where I start to do pretty good on my own and I get a little bit distant and I start to forget what my shepherd looks like. And so I just say right now, we should just open up in a little bit of a prayer that would confess that. Because the reality is there are probably many of us in the room who our lack of knowledge of our shepherd is really just a function of not being intimate with him. And we're going to try that tonight. We're actually going to spend some time with Jesus, spend some time with a good shepherd and say, hey, you know what? I want to know you. I want to be able to sing a song like Stephen does and just magically spout off lyrics of who you are, God, because you're so good. And man, sometimes I can't do that because I don't think I know you that well. So if that's your heart, then why don't you just agree with me while I pray this? God, we're just going to start in a spot of humility. And we're going to say there are times where even though you know us because we're your sheep, we don't know you as a shepherd, and it's really just because we get distracted by other things. We come in here on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and we remember, oh yes, you're good. Oh yeah, I'm starting to remember some things about you, but in everyday life, we can just get sidetracked. And so we just confess to you that we want to know you more. We want to know what you're like. We want to know what you look like and what you sound like and what your voice sounds like. And we think that when we ask you that, that you answer us. Amen. Amen. Simple as that. So that's sort of exercise number one. You see what we did there is we took a truth. We took a truth and we said, man, I think I believe that. I think that the shepherd knows me, but I'm not sure if I know him. And we go, well, let's make sure that my mind lines up with actually what this word says. We're going to do more of that tonight. Here's the other verse that we looked at. It talks about grapes and a vine. It's out of John 15. It says this, a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Duh. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. You can do nothing without me. I've been spending a lot of time on this lately, and I'll just tell you that last month, and if you were here for Next Level, and we sort of said, which one of these sticks out to you? Sort of write it on your hand with a Sharpie. This was me all day long, because I can get really quickly a little bit ahead of myself and thinking that, you know, if Jesus left me right now, if his spirit for some reason left me, I could probably still be a pretty good dad. I would know how to feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I would know how to encourage them. You know, I don't really necessarily need Jesus' spirit to be a good dad. Or I could probably continue to lead my team around here. I could make some good management decisions. And essentially, I think we all have areas where we think, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't really know if that's true. So here's exercise number two. We're going to do something with it. But first, I want you to turn to your buddy. I want you to tell him, what are the areas in your life, maybe pick one, where you think, apart from God, I actually do think I can do something. And why don't you just share those with one another? Go, right now. This can be my thing. Good. Good. Now, okay, so weird thing to share, right? Why would I share the thing that I'm not supposed to do? Well, the Bible actually calls that confession. It says that we can choose areas and we can look at someone and say, hey, I think I have this area in my life that doesn't line up with what God says. And so can I just speak that out? So I told Joyce and Bill that I have a struggle because sometimes I forget that I'm a pastor of a church and I think more like the manager of a business. And I'll tell you what, if you want to find a way, for me at least, I can go right by whatever God is telling me because all I'm thinking about is what are the things we got to do? Okay, we got to add a third service, make room for people. And all of a sudden, I'm going, wait a second. Jesus said that apart from him, I can do nothing. God, okay, can I just say, I'm going way too fast. I just need to check back in with you. I need to check back. I'm going to confess to some people and say, hey, I'm going alone. So we're going to, that's the next thing we're going to do. You're actually going to have a chance either to pray by yourself, asking God and just saying, hey, Jesus, I just want to let you know this area of my life, I'm prone to running ahead without you. But your word that I want to agree with, your word says that without you, I can do nothing. So even in times where you give me a special grace and where I'm getting things done, but it's really just you because you say that apart from you, I can do nothing. I just want to confess that I need you. I need you in this area of my life. You can either pray that by yourself, or if you're comfortable praying it with the person next to you, you can pray for one another. And that's what we're going to do in our next couple minutes. So you can do that right now.
Good. Good. Again, tonight,
experimenting with a lot of maybe familiar muscles to you, maybe some not so familiar, but we're gonna keep going. So in that vine scripture where Jesus talks about this truth that, hey, regardless of what you think, regardless of whatever natural abilities and tendencies you think you have, the truth is, apart from me, you can do nothing. Anything good you ever do, sheep, will come from me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And he tells us to do this strange word, abide. Abide. He tells us to abide. And so, man, I'll tell you, I've believed this word has meant a lot of different things. You know, when I grew up in the Baptist church, I believed it was like abiding was like if you never committed a single sin all day long and you went to church like 10 times a week, then that was abiding. Probably not it exactly. I thought that abiding was if I could just make sure that I read the Bible in a year, then that was abiding. Just make sure you never miss a day and you'll be abiding. And I think that what I've come to feel like abiding is a little bit more is when I'm sort of aware of God's Spirit throughout my entire day and I'm just inviting to him into things here and there. I'm inviting him in as I'm looking at my calendar in the morning and going, oh man, that meeting, that could be a doozy. God, would you just go ahead of me in that meeting and let me know what I need to do in there? Or when I see that I have an open lunch, I go, okay, who would be encouraging to me? Or who could I be an encouragement to that I could spend lunch with today? God, do you have anyone that you might pop into my head? Or at 5:30 p.m. when I get home after a day full of meetings and my four-year-old wraps her body around my leg and says, come down and play this game with me. And I'm like, okay, what I really want to do is withdraw in my my private little bathroom where all there is a toilet and like check my social news feed. That's all I want to do. But God, I feel like you're telling me to be a good dad and play Candyland, even though she cheats, do that. That's abiding. That's abiding. And what else I've found is my track record throughout the day of abiding goes a lot better if I start my day off with some intentional time spent abiding with God, some intentional time. And the next experiment that we are going to do is I'm going to model for you my personal quiet time that I do in the mornings. And then you're going to have a chance to look at some of the same scripture, and you're going to have a chance to actually have quiet time right here. So went to man camp on Friday, Saturday. Anybody do man camp? Come on. Oh, men. Hey, stand up, men, if you went to man camp. Look at all these men at Westside that went to man camp. That's awesome. That's awesome. So man camp was a very intentional schedule. Because the very first thing that we did was solitude. The very first thing that we did was, hey, find a chair, take this guide, it's got some scripture and some prompts in it, go away and just spend some time with God. Why do you think we did that? Well, it's because we knew if guys are starting their man camp experience hearing from God, the potential to continue to hear from him is going to be really, really high. Really, really high. The same way that I get up in the morning and do it. Now, I'll also tell you, there's this myth out there that there are people who it's just like they wake up and they hit their worship playlist and they get in their cozy chair and the sun's coming up and the birds are singing and they're just doing their Bible and they're right. And it's like, fine, maybe some people do that. If you're retired and an empty nester, maybe. Mine looks more like this. I have a wife and we both like to sleep a lot. And we have a youngest who likes to wake up between 5:30 and 6. And so we've done this little schedule where we alternate days every other day. And on the days that I have to wake up with Liv at 5:30 in the morning, I go, okay, I feel like I should do some quiet time. I know this is good for me. This helps me abide. So what am I going to do? I'm going to get her a cup of milk. I'm going to put on bubble guppies and I'm going to let her veg out in front of the TV for half an hour while I can spend some time with God. And it works. I'm just telling you, this is not, if you set yourself up like, oh man, I got to have this perfect thing. I know that I need to abide with my dad if I want to have a great day. And so I'll do it at whatever cost, even if it means turning my two-year-old's brain into a sponge in front of Nick Jr. Whatever, I'll do it. So here's what I do. I've got this. This is a big honking Bible. I love it. And I've got a notepad. I got this before we went to Israel. And so I've been capturing stuff since May in it. And I typically, you can see it right up here, I will typically sit down with this and spend anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes at my breakfast room table, and I just try to connect with God. I'll tell you, the prayer piece for me, I had a really big breakthrough about a year ago, and I'm going to sort of teach this to you now before we get into the word portion, but prayer is really important piece. Growing up Baptist, it was all Bible all the time for me, and I realized, man, I'm not connecting with God at all. He doesn't want just me to know more about him. He wants me to actually experience relationship with him. And so the Lord's Prayer model is something that came up. I actually wrote it and took a picture of it. You can put it up there, Shook. So I don't know if you realize it or not, but when Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, he said, pray like this. He didn't say, memorize this and say it mindlessly for the next 2,000 years. And that's sometimes what we do, right? Well, he actually said, no, this is a tool. This is a tool. You'll see it starts with character and it sort of goes around. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. God, I'm just going to tell you about your character and how good you are. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to look for areas in my life that I just want to match up with what your kingdom coming would look like. I'm seeing people that are sick, and in your kingdom, people get healed. So I'm praying for that. I'm praying for that kind of stuff. Provision. Give us this day our daily bread. God, these are just the things that I need. I'm going to list these out for you. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God, I'm just going to be prompted right now to go through the things that I know that I've disappointed you on in the past 24 hours. I just want to list those off for you. I want to confess them. Guidance. Lead us not into temptation. God, would you guide us in these areas? Give me wisdom in making this decision. Give me wisdom in making this purchase. Give me wisdom and guidance. Deliver us from evil. Protection. Man, God, I'm just asking that your protection would be over my daughters, asking your protection would be over my wife and her pregnancy, whatever the things are. Do you see how the Lord's Prayer just came alive going through those buckets? So first thing I want us to do just right now, like I would do at the beginning of my quiet time, I want to give you 5 minutes. I just want you to pray through this. I want you to pray through this, and I want you to be prompted by the way that Jesus taught us to pray. You do that in the quietness of your seat. Tell you when it's time to move on. So start just by telling God how good he is. How about now we shift our attention to areas where we want to see his kingdom come, areas where we want to see his healing, areas where we want to see his redemption. Provision. What do you need from him? What do you need? Man, there's got to be certain things that you say, God, short of you giving me this, I'm not going to get it, and I need this from you. Forgiveness. This is confession. Do it right in your seat. Things that come immediately to mind that you just haven't asked him for forgiveness for, just bring it to him. He wants to forgive you. Guidance. What's the fork in the road right now that you would just love to know your Father's preference? You just want his wisdom. And lastly, protection. Protection for you, protection for loved ones. You can ask for it. He tells you to. Amen. Amen. Man, you know, one of the cool things that I found out, maybe this happened to you, I can sit in front of this in the morning with sleep still in my eyes, and I'll find that God directs my thoughts in these different buckets to things I would have never thought of. He's talking to me. He's guiding me. He's saying, hey, son, I want to talk to you about this. Hey, right now, as a matter of fact, if you got your smartphone, you go, that's what's helpful. Take a picture of that. Take a picture of that. Write that down. I'm telling you, my prayer life came to life when I had some buckets. Trust me, you are not alone. If you start praying and all of a sudden, before you know it, you're thinking about what you're having for dinner and you're like, oh shoot, I should have been praying. This is some great handles. Second part, scripture, the word, getting into the word. Man, talking about being a vine. Whoa, they're saying back it up, Shook. Back it up. Good. All right, so scripture, here's what I do. Again, I'm just modeling in case you, maybe you were at man camp and that was the first time you ever had a time alone with God. Maybe you've been following a long time. You've never actually sat down and spent time with him. Prayer and Bible is the other piece. Community is actually what we're doing here tonight, by the way. But prayer, Bible, and community, we say those are the greatest ways to interact and know our shepherd. And so as far as I go, when I get into the word, I typically go through a book of the Bible at a time, and I go really, really slow. I used to try and get through it as fast as I could, but I'm just finding there are things that stop me dead in my tracks. So this could backfire. I was actually talking with Kathy about this today, like, man, I feel a little bit nervous just going on the next thing that God's given me, but, you know, if he can talk to me at my dining room table, he can talk to me right here. So I'm in the book of 1 Peter, and we're actually going to put it up here. So I'm in 1 Peter, and I'm going to do 3-7, sort of the chunk that I'm in right now. So, is that small? You read that at all? If you can't read it, you can listen to it. I'm going to read it. So here's what 1 Peter 1:3-7 says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm just immediately drawn out to, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. You've been grieved by various trials. I'm going to do something. Promise me that you don't bother her because she's fine. But a trial that we went through in the past week is Abby was in a car accident while we were trying to do these meetings at our home, getting ready for the campaign. And she, because she's pregnant, the airbag came out. She actually had to go into the hospital. And I've actually been, she's here. She's fine. She came out of the hospital after 4 hours. The baby's fine. And she's fine. But I got to tell you, I've been wrestling a little bit with why that happened and why that happened just now when it did. So as if I were journaling, I'd probably write that down. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Yeah, that was a trial. It seemed like terrible timing. Seemed like lack of protection. It seemed like danger for my wife and for our unborn daughter. And yet, in this sort of moment of spiritual clarity, I'm seeing that there was a testing of the genuineness of our faith that's even more precious than gold. And that's going to result in me praising God. It's interesting because, you know, tonight, as we were worshiping and as Stephen was leading, and he's about to lead us in some more, I don't think that my heart for God and my ability to close my eyes and say those words to him would have been as great had he not just saved my wife and my daughter in the midst of a horrible car accident. And so I'm seeing the truth of 1 Peter 1:3-7 right now, and I'd probably just journal a little bit more about that. And I might close my time just by saying something like this. God, I bless you for what you did there. And I bless you that there are trials that produce a steadfastness in me and that deepen my faith. And on that thrive line, like when I was doing today, the times that I'm closest to you are sometimes in the times that I want to pass by the most quickly. But I know that you're always there, and I know that you want to teach me in every single moment. And so I just bless you and thank you that even in the midst of a car accident and terrible timing, I could see your goodness and your faithfulness because you're a good dad. Amen. Amen. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. Now, here's what I want you to do, and I'm going a little bit fast because I want to be able to worship still. I want you to take 5 minutes with this same scripture. I want you to read through it, and I want you to look for what God might say. Hey, back up, reread that again. What does that mean for you? If you've got a smartphone to sort of take notes on, great. Pen and paper would work, but take 5 minutes, and I want you to have a conversation with God using this scripture as a prompt. still got your buddy? Why don't you turn to your buddy? And if you feel like you heard something, either when you were praying or when you were looking at this scripture, I want you to tell your buddy what you heard. What you heard. Man, I'll tell you what, this excites me to see participation, to see talking, because I'll say this. I know that there's a legacy, there's somewhat of a trail that's been blazed on the west side of town that says doing spiritual things like this on your own is something you should not do. And I'll just say, I love that tonight in 10 minutes, we each had time to hear from God on our own. Raise your hand if you feel like you maybe got a thought or something that was inspired by God tonight. Raise your hand. Amazing. Amazing. Shook, put up the slide. I want you to say this. I hear from God. Say that. I hear from God. Seriously, that's amazing. That's amazing. I'll tell you what. Moving from next level, moving from just seeking God to receiving him to actually following him, you do quiet time, you spend time abiding with God 10 times, and you will know your shepherd way better than you know him right now. You do this for a year, you'll be on the fast track to spiritual maturity of looking more like your shepherd because you're spending more time with him. He already knows you, and he's just inviting you in to know him. And we've got one last experiment, actually, that we're going to do. And it's not so much an experiment, but it's something that he told us to do over and over and over to remember this whole receiving thing. And he said, hey, I'm going to do this deal. I'm going to set up this pattern where there's going to be bread and there's going to be wine. And I want you to remember that apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Because every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this wine, I want you to remember that it was my body on the cross and it was my blood that shed forgiveness for your sins that allows you to know your good shepherd, to allow you to know your good dad. And we're going to do that right now. We're going to have a time to celebrate communion. If you're new around here, in the case that you are, we don't sip around here, we dip. So if you put the bread in your mouth too fast, don't worry. They'll give you another piece and you can dip it in. And this is a way where I'll just tell you, you know, I can go through the motions on this pretty quickly. And go up, okay, thank you, put it in your mouth and go. What if tonight you actually slowed down a little bit and said, okay, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, when you do this, I want you to remember what I did for you. I want you to remember it. And this body and this blood, you're going to need it. Just like you're going to need to abide in my word, you're going to need to remember from time to time what I did on the cross, and you're going to do it by eating bread and drinking wine. So God, I just pray that right now, as the communion folks come forward, that you would prepare our hearts the best way possible for us to understand the gravity and the nature of this exercise that you set into place for us to do over and over and over throughout generations. And I pray that it tastes sweet to us and that it would remind us in our minds and in our hearts how good of a father you are to us and how much you love us. Amen. Hey, communion's open for all who would have it.
agree with David, who wrote this song, that my heart is satisfied within your presence. And God, I just want to sit in this receiving place all the days of my life. David said, all I want for all the days of my life is I just want to seek you and be with you. Everything gets solved in your presence. That's what I want to do. So let's kind of let's stand up together and let's kind of just honor him. Okay, we're gonna turn the tempo up a little bit and do this song together. Okay, okay? I want to hear you sing, "How lovely is your dwelling place."
How lovely is your dwelling place. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. thousands elsewhere.
Thank you.
give me the goods. Back up the truck because I want more of you. I want us to be people who are greedy for you, who are pushy for your presence, who keep getting in your face and saying, God, pour out your presence. Pour out your spirit on us. Start with me and my house. We will serve you. And God, we want to create a whirlwind of praise that sweeps up our whole city in the worship of you. I want you to start with the people in this room. Give them what they're asking for this week, God, that they would all be receivers and taste your kingdom. Amen. Agree? Amen. Let me see your fists in the air. Say amen. All right. Good to see you. Adios. See you later. We're going to keep singing up here, but you go do what you got to do.